put a informative out there for those of you that's worried about my salvation. I'm getting my hair cut Friday. So, if you've got one decent eye, you can tell it's not a fashion statement. I'm just overdue, right? I hope that I can minister to you today in the anointing and in the Holy Ghost that put this into my spirit. I have feasted on this for days. I've wrestled with it. I've laughed. I've cried. I've been thankful. I've been blessed. And I've been challenged. And I hope that I can do all that tonight. Before I read our text, I do ask that as we read, please allow me freedom in the Holy Ghost to speak tonight. No preconceived notions. We're saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ, and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. We are saved by and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and because of Calvary, and that's all. And I'm thankful for that. If you would, if you've got your Bibles, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Paul says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." You may be seated. Perfecting holiness. What does that mean? What is holiness? Holiness is defined as moral or righteous living. And outside of Jesus Christ and outside of the new creator or the new creation that we are in Him, there are none righteous. However, through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, He renews us again, and we are born again into a new creature, into new desires, into new motives, into a new plan. New things make us tick. It takes a while, a very long while, for some of those old habits to die out. And it takes a soldier tried and true. It takes a soldier with a made-up mind to fight unto the end. I've wrestled probably more in my life with the idea and concept of holiness more than any, not more than any, but more than most things and most kingdom concepts in the Bible, I have wrestled with the idea of holiness and what it means to us and what it means to me. Is it applicable in our lives today? How do we perform it, and should we even perform it? And I will tell you now that I have been challenged in this week after God has placed some things so strongly and fervently in my life. Our culture doesn't think much about holiness. Some outright disdain the idea of holiness. Some label it as a failed attempt to honor God. Some see it as foolishness in the eyes of the believer. However, we're still left with verses like the one we read before, 2 Corinthians 7, where Paul mandates us to perfect holiness in the fear of God. How can I perfect moral living if I'm a fallen creature? How can I live out holiness in the sight of God? Because when we say that, we're talking about God's sight and not our own. I want to live holy before God and not holy before men. I don't want to live out a list of do's and don'ts created by those before or after or during my time, but I want to live by a plan that is pleasing to my Creator. Dustin talked about the earnest of the Spirit. There's an earnest expectation that comes with that new creature. See, we're given a promise that one day we will rise in His likeness. And to a believer, we've all got an earnest expectation inside of us to take on that new man. One day, Pastor, we'll rise in His likeness. But until then, I wrestle and I grapple with the idea of holiness. What does it mean? As some of you in here, grew up a church kid. My mom was in ministry. My grandmother was in ministry. She was the leader of our youth group, Sunday school, and my Christian school principal for a long time. And I'll tell you that I have seen the worst of Christians, as most of our ministry children in this place have, and most of our ministry in this place have. You get to see the backside of what a new creature looks like. The not so cleaned up version of what they really think about you and really think about what's going on with the work that you're trying to do. But what do we do with scriptures? It's not just this one, but it's one of many that tell us to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's 1 Chronicles 16. And in Romans 1, it tells us that in Jesus was the spirit of holiness. With verses like these and others in mind, what do we think of holiness? And what type of weight does it carry in our lives? Is it outdated? Is it just a man's mandate on things that they don't like? I fully believe that there are folks that preach that you shouldn't have a beard because they can't grow one. I'll get that plug in there. I fully believe that there are folks that preach that you shouldn't go X, Y, and Z places because they don't like to go X, Y, and Z places. And I'm not here to harp on anybody tonight. I hope that if I may, if the Spirit will help me, that I can build up and edify somebody tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul tells us, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Who's he speaking to here? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. I'm preaching to the brethren tonight. I'm not preaching to sinners. I'm preaching to the people of God, blood-bought, born again. I'm talking to the church. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God. What do we really think is acceptable in the sight of God? I've wrestled with it all my life. What does it look like? Do I have to really abstain against X, Y, and Z? I will tell you right now that there are prohibitions in the Bible against certain things. He says that no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of heaven. He says that the adulterer will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And there are prohibitions in the Bible against things that it labels as sin. But I'm not talking about sin tonight. I'm talking about holiness and purity in the heart of the believer. You know that Jesus would say that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I can't help but think, Brother Doug, of the super religious of his day, how they would try to look at him with a microscope to find the least little thing wrong with him on the outside. They would watch every little move that he made, just hoping and baiting the idea of him slipping up on the outside and revealing something to them. And when that wouldn't work, the Bible would tell us that they would try to trip him up in his speech. Because the Bible would tell us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So they was thinking that maybe, just maybe, we could get this man to trip up with what's really on the outside of, or what's really on the inside of him. Maybe we could get it to come to the outside and show that he's a poser and show that he's a counterfeit and show that he's a fake. Because they knew down deep inside their heart of hearts that they were posers and they were counterfeits and they were fake. And Jesus would look at these men and say, on the outside, you're like whitewashed sepulchers, but on the inside, you're nothing more than dead man's bones. You see, as a seed is planted in the earth, and it grows where no man can see it. God begins to perform a work inside the soil. And roots begin to grow down deep. And before you know it, before long, if you're patient, out comes this little plant springing forth out of the ground. A bud will come forth. And they tried very hard to get Jesus to trip himself up in his speech. Because they knew that if someone tried them, they would trip up by their speech, because what's on the inside is going to come forth on the outside. You see, they presented holiness as an outward thing and only as an outward thing. But Jesus, being totally different, had something down on the inside of him that when time come, it began to show forth on the outside of him. And things begin to change. He's always been holy. I'm talking about a believer now. I'm kind of sidestepping into a believer now. There's going to be some seed planted in you. There's going to be some faith that comes by hearing the word of the Lord. And that seed's going to be planted. And we've got to be patient and let that seed have its perfect work, because it's God that gives the increase. And before you know it, there's life springing forth. And for all the people that want to see it, they can see it. But you got to give it a little bit of time. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why did I read this? Because we find that word here again, for the perfecting of the saints. In this verse, in this instance, in Ephesians chapter 4, this word means thoroughly furnishing. It means completing. It means building up and edifying. Thoroughly furnishing it. Bringing something to a close. Completing something. That's what the ministry is here for. That's why I've got to talk about holiness tonight. It's because the ministry, the fivefold ministry, was set before us to edify and to perfect the saints. That the man of God be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word perfect in Greek, and I'm going to butcher this, but let me butcher it, is artakios. Sounds like taco. It's fitted. It's complete. It's perfect. It's like a good fitted suit. It's like going to the tailor and having him fit it to you perfectly. That's what the Greek word in this scripture, in Ephesians chapter 4, means. It's perfect. It means it fits right. Thoroughly furnished is used in the exact same sentence, and this Greek word is axatarizo. And it means to complete and to finish. Why do I read that? Why does that even matter? Because in 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 1, perfecting is a totally different word. And that word is epitelio, and it means to bring to an end, to take upon oneself to do with the mind to finish it, or to literally do it. So what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, help me, Holy Ghost, what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 is to take upon yourself holiness and to do it. How could I ever perfect, in my mind, holiness? You'll never perfect holiness this side of glory. But what he tells you is the deed is perfected when you pick it up and you decide to do it. What it means is there's no telltale signs of how holy I am and how holy you are. There's no road map and there's no signs along the highway to let you know that this person has reached a destination and this person has not. But what he really says in this sentence is he says, let us take upon ourselves holiness and just do it. As long as you're living, just do it. Every morning, every day when you wake up in the morning, just do it. When you lay your head down at night, just do it. When you're trying to think of what's going on in your life, just live out holiness. When the naysayers come around you and you're not fitting their bill, keep on doing holiness. When you don't add up to what other people think you ought to be, honey, just keep on living your life in the sight of God. And as He pours it on you, you live and you grow and you move and you have your being and you have your personal walk with Jesus Christ. Don't try to live up to my expectation. Don't try to live up to mom and dad's expectation. Don't try to live up to Sunday school's expectation. But what the Holy Ghost lays on your heart, because He said, I will lead and guide you in all truth. He will pour it on you. And when He does, follow Him down that road. Why does it really matter? Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8 through 9. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men thought fools. Though fools shall not enter therein. No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall enter therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed. But the redeemed are going to walk in this place. Isaiah rightly describes holiness as a highway, a thoroughfare connecting. That is the meaning of the word, a thoroughfare connecting one destination to another destination. What happens is God finds you where you're at. And in the blessing of Him saving you, and in the blessing of Him doing, in Isaiah 35, He says that the lame shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall speak, and in the wilderness waters are going to break forth. And then in verse number 8, He says there's going to be a highway there. There's going to be a thorough way there. There's going to be a place where I'm taking you from where you're at to where I have for you to go. But He goes on and He calls it a way. Not only is it a highway, but it's a way. You see, holiness is a destination, holiness is a direction and not a destination. Where I trip up at, and where the most of us trip up at, is we like to look around at the mile markers that we're at in our walk with God. And when someone asks us about holiness, or when the enemy tries to creep in and cause division, he'll cause us to look at these road signs that where we're at, and look at our brothers and sisters and say, they're not at the mile marker that I'm at. That is not why that is there. I'm telling you that holiness is a direction. And keep walking in that direction. Keep walking in the direction of God. Keep walking in the direction that the Holy Ghost would lead you. I'm preaching this tonight because I believe with everything inside of me that there are those that have been wounded in this place right here tonight because holiness was weaponized against you. I believe in my heart. Is that okay, Pastor? I believe in my heart of hearts that there are people, there are young people, there are old people, there are ministers' kids in this place that have been wounded because some impatient person decided to come and dig their hands down in that soil that God had planted. They seen that there was a work going on, but they wasn't patient enough to step back and see what God was doing. They had to come and they had to dig their fingers down inside that fresh soil and inspect and see how the growth was coming about, wondering why you don't look like I look. Is that okay? And wondering why you don't go the places that I go. And wondering why you don't act the way that I act. And wondering why you don't condone yourself in the way that I condone myself in. Can I tell you that holiness was never meant to be weaponized against the people of God? Holiness was a path given only to the redeemed, where I'm blessed and you are blessed to have the invitation to walk in. So to you wounded, I say I'm sorry. And I apologize deeply because the church has hurt you. Because some individual, maybe even meaning well, was impatient, and maybe it was even false accusations from the enemy. But we've all seen it when these noses get turned up at new people, or these noses get turned up at young people. That's not how a Sunday school teacher's kid ought to act. Let them grow. That's not how a preacher's kid ought to act. Let them grow. Let them grow. Let them grow. I'm sorry. I know you've been wounded, but I'm here to tell you that it's a false accusation, and though it's been weaponized against you, there is still a path and there is still a way that the King of all kings, that our Creator, is beckoning you to come on in a little bit closer. I know you've seen it done right, and I know that you've seen it done wrong, but oh, would you hear the voice of Him calling you and saying, I've got a blessing coming your way if you'll give me the chance to do it. You see, it's easier to just run from it than it is to meet it head on. Even with our own children, it's easier for us to expect more out of them than it is for us to give them the patience to grow in the seed that only God can give the increase to. That's what was wrong with the Pharisees in the day of Jesus, as they wretched within and brought something to the outside and put it on with no relationship. And when Jesus really came, they missed Him. And when the presence of the Almighty God was standing face to face with them, they missed it because they had put on this facade that they were never supposed to put on. It was supposed to be rooted down deep inside of who they were. But there was no root for it to grow in. There was no ground for it to grow in, because before the time come, before due season, some hands got in there messing around with it, and it wounded it, and it stunted the growth. And I want to preach to somebody in this place tonight that you've been wounded, and you're living for God, or maybe even you're not living for God at the moment because of the wound. And you're wonder at night, how is it that God could ever sanctify something that could be weaponized against me? For every real thing, there is a counterfeit. And I don't think that I'm throwing stones at our elders tonight, because I am not. My heroes are all our elders. I love our elders. I cannot explain enough. I could never tell you enough at how much I love our elders. And I'm not here throwing rocks tonight. I want to build up the body of Christ. Pastor said Sunday that you ought to be free to worship. And that's what I want to come and say tonight. You ought to be free to worship. Take those shackles off. Take that measuring device, break it, and throw it in the trash, and live for God. Don't worry about what I think. Don't worry about what so-and-so thought 10 years ago. Worry about what the King of all kings thinks. Because if He thinks enough of you, then I think enough of you. And if you're going His way, that's true holiness. If you're on His path, going His way, that is true holiness. Isaiah rightly called it a path. It's not a destination. It's a direction. Not a list of do's and don'ts, but it's a path that only the redeemed get to walk in. I get way too focused on mile markers. I get way too bent out of shape if everything's not so-so. But the Holy Ghost checked me in the past couple weeks as He revealed these things to me. Sam, it's not a list. It's not an expectation that has to be met for you. I don't have a dog in it. I'm as a preacher, I'm never going to stop crying aloud and sparing not. And don't go out these doors thinking that I'm preaching some message of compromise. I'm not. But what I am preaching is, let's let the King of all kings do His work in His people as He sees fit. I believe in my heart of hearts that this church is plumb full of people that have the love for the brethren. I think there's more love in this church than I've seen in any church in all my days. I've seen church hurt. I've seen church hell. I've seen good church. I've seen bad church. I've seen in-between church. But can I tell you that it all stems from the people? It's as good as we are. He's God and He changes not. Dustin said earlier, he was talking about Jesus when He was praying in the garden. He prayed, He said, Father, make them one as we are one, that the world might believe. If we've all got checklists, looking at our brothers and sisters, wondering Y, X, Y, and Z isn't checked off, we're never going to be unified. But if we let the ministry do its work for the perfecting of the saints, don't worry about the perfecting being instantaneous. Leave that up to the ministry and to the work of the Holy Ghost. Let him do it in his own time and as he sees fit. Jacob wrestled with God. I know there are those that would tell me, Sam, you shouldn't, you're saved. And you should never wrestle with holiness. And if you're pleasing to God, you're his son, you're his child. I understand that. But I also understand that there are two people inside of me warring one with the other. And I understand that not everything that my flesh would do is pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, I understand that not submitting myself to my brothers and sisters in Christ would not be holy unto God. He calls us to be submitted one to another. And I wrestle with holiness. But I want to let you know that's okay. You're going to wrestle with it too, and that's what holiness is about. It's not about a destination. It's about getting on that path, that direction toward God, and constantly wrestling with, God, am I pleasing you right now? God, check me. Am I pleasing you right? And whatever's inside of my heart, is that pleasing to you right now? The things that I'm partaking in, God, is that pleasing to you right now? I want to tell you that you're never going to grasp holiness. Nobody's ever going to give you a list and tell you that when God asks you to live holy in His sight, this is what He wants you to do. That's what the Spirit inside of you is for. To lead you and guide you in all truth. That's what the fivefold ministry is for. It's for the equipping and the perfecting of the saints. We're here to constantly prod you and poke you. And say things like, holiness is real. And though it's been done wrong, that doesn't mean that you can't do it right. Amen. For every count, for every real thing that's worth anything at all, there's a counterfeit. Why would we think that holiness is any different? Jacob wrestled with God and was blessed because of it. Do you think for a moment that God couldn't have pulverized him in a second? I mean, really. The angel of the Lord said, you have strength with God. And the scripture uses verbiage like he prevailed not against him. But do we think for a moment, the angel of the Lord slew thousands in one night. Do we really think that he couldn't have prevailed against Jacob? It was the wrestling that got Jacob blessed. It wasn't his miraculous strength. It was the fact that Jacob grabbed a hold of something bigger than he was. And he began to wrestle with the things of God. And I want to tell you tonight, don't give up on it. Go into your prayer closet. When you ride down the road, grab a hold of something bigger than you are and wrestle with that thing. Because as old as any of us are and as young as any of us are, we're never going to reach our destination in this walk. We're going to be perfected day by day and year by year and moment by moment as the Holy Ghost works in us. So grab a hold of something bigger than we are. To those of you that have seen it done wrong and been hurt and want nothing to do with it. Or maybe everything has to make perfect sense to you before you would ever think about stepping into it. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. It goes on and it tells us that we're to come together into unity of the body of Christ. Because we're all working toward the same goal. We're not all in the same place. But I hope we're going all the same direction. 1 Samuel chapter 11. Nahash, an Ammonite, comes and he encamps against the people of Jabesh. And when the people of Jabesh Gilead go to Nahash, they ask him, make a covenant with us. And Nahash requires from the people, he says, I'll do that, I'll make a covenant with you. But in return, you're going to give me your right eye. all the men of Jabesh-Gilead, you're going to give me your right eye. Most of us are right eye dominant. Your right eye, if it is the dominant eye, is the eye that gives you most of your perception. It makes up most of the visual things that you see, like my bad hairdo today. It deals a lot with your perception, your depth perception, and how far away and how close things really are to you. So the enemy was trying to deal a death blow to the people of Jabesh-Gilead when he would tell them that I will make this covenant with you, but you're going to give me your right eye. In the spiritual realm, if we're not careful, the enemy will come to us and he will take our right eye in the spirit, not in the flesh, because we walk by faith, not by sight. And I know when the enemy comes in and he wounds us, his go-to move is to wound that right eye and to make you give up your perception of what's really going on in the kingdom. That old left eye starts to work. And your perception begins to change. And the vision of what you see going on in the body of Christ begins to change. I want to tell you tonight, don't give your right eye to the enemy. Don't give the eye, your spiritual eye that perceives depth in the things of God, in the spiritual realm, don't forfeit that over to the enemy. What that does, what's it look like when that happens? Here's what it looks like. Well, that just doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do it. All the while, the Holy Ghost is leading you to do it. All the while, the Spirit of God is leading you down a path. And all the while, the Holy Ghost is trying to change you, Brandon, and laying out a path before you. And a minister comes, and the minister says, walk before God in holiness. Worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And if you've lost your right eye in the spiritual realm, you'll say, oh, that's just a bunch of malarkey. And on the other side of it, what that says is these people ain't holy. Look at them. But let's take back our spirit. If you've given it up, if you're one of those people that's been wounded and you think, well, I can't even see that anymore, Sam. I can't even perceive the battle anymore. I want to tell you that he also came to give back sight to the blind. And all it takes is one good prayer meeting and one good laying on of hands by the elders, and God can restore some things in your life. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I know that I'm talking to somebody that's been wounded because something good was weaponized against you. But I'm here tonight to challenge you to stand up in your life and take back that ground and say, God, I know that you've called me to live as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And I know that it was weaponized in my past. And I know that some folks made me feel not so good in the past about who I was or what I was doing. But go back to that place for a minute and tell that you back then that it's okay. That we're going to let that root grow and he's going to heal that hurt. And he's going to heal that wound. And that growth is going to come. Some of you, maybe you've experienced growth, but you feel like you've hit a ceiling. I don't know, I just feel like I'm not growing anymore in Christ. Maybe it's because of a wound. Maybe it's because your right eye has got some damage to it in the spiritual realm. Because somebody done it the wrong way years ago and made a phone call. And the phone call got back to you and your young feelings were hurt. And you've decided that since it can be weaponized and make people feel so horrible that are trying to do good, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. There's always a counterfeit. But as people of God, it's time, Jason, that we stand up and take it back and say that we can live in the beauty of holiness to our God. And we can do it as the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us in all truth. And we're going to do it. I'm not talking about salvation tonight. We're saved by and only and through the blood of Jesus Christ. But I do know that we are transformed into His likeness. It is that earnest expectation of the promise that one day we'll rise in His likeness. That's when outward holiness begins to manifest itself, is when that earnest expectation begins to mimic on the outside. And that seed is planted in the ground and the root begins to take place and the root begins to grow and life begins to spring up out of you. Maybe there was a root wounded. I promise you that holiness is a kingdom concept. And I promise you that holiness unto God is a great thing. But I'm not so foolish or blind that I can stand before you and say that I have not seen it done the right way, the wrong way, because I have. I have seen it weaponized against young people. I've seen it weaponized against new converts. I've seen it weaponized against folks that just didn't quite see eye to eye. And rather, Brother Frankie, than agreeing on the 99.5% of what we do agree on, we'll leave each other and cause division in the church over the 0.5% that we can't seem to come head to head with. But Jesus said in the garden, "Father, make them one as we are one, that the world might believe." You see what Jesus did there? Is He took unity and He tied it to revival. He took unity of the brethren. And He directly tied it to the world believing in Him and coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, "Father, if they can get this right, and if they can be one as we're one, then I know the world will..." Can I tell you that MacArthur and Coal City and Beckley could be turned upside down if the church could get unity right? Can I tell you that if we would come together in one mind and one accord without the measuring stick wanting each other to line up just so-so with our expectations, and we could come in and glorify, and everybody from the least to the greatest could be free to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that mighty, miraculous things would happen. I really believe in my heart of hearts that miracles are tied to unity. I believe that when we come through these doors, Pastor, and everybody gets on the same page with one another, and we're not here to lift up ourselves, and we don't care who prays the prayer of faith, and we don't care who gets to mark down that they prayed for so-and-so when the healing comes forth, but we come through these doors with an expectation of the earnest spirit that He placed inside of us. Because if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies, then miraculous things are going to happen. Then addicts are going to be freed. Then bound and oppressed people are going to have chains fall off right here at the pulpit, at the altar. As a sinner, as an addict comes and they kneel down at the altar and they pray the prayer of forgiveness and repentance, that shackles fall off and that strongholds are loosed and that miraculous things still happen in the body of Christ. If we could just become one. If we could get our eyes off of the road signs to our left and to our right and just take for granted that my brothers and my sisters are headed in the same direction that I am. We all want to rise one day in His likeness. But until then, I'm going to unify with the body. Until then, I'm going to believe Him for miracles, signs, and wonders. Until then, I'm going to let the Holy Ghost have its perfect work. So one more time, I'm so sorry to you that were wounded. I'm so sorry to you that feel like you've been a failure for most of your life because somebody's impatient fingers got down inside of your life and broke up that fallow ground that they didn't even toil over. They didn't plant the seed. They didn't water the seed. But when they expected something to come up out of the ground, they wounded the root. He wants to heal the root. Is what I'm telling you tonight. That thing's not going to have its way in your life anymore. It was said of David that he served his generation well. And I sometimes preach things that maybe people my age don't preach, but I want it to be said, Brother Frankie, at the end of my days that I served my generation well. Because I believe that if it was good enough for the elders, and if it was good enough for the church fathers, and if it was good enough for the disciples, and if it was good enough for Jesus, I'm just crazy enough to believe, Pastor, that it's still good enough for us today. I believe that if we could find ourselves into the cleft of that rock, hewn out not with hands, I believe if we could just find ourselves tucked up under His wings, that everything's going to be all right. I'm not here to bash on the church. I know a lot of people are disappointed with today's church. I am not disappointed in today's church. I see more love and compassion in today's church than I've seen in any church in my whole life. And when I read of Jesus, it says that He was moved with love and with compassion. But also by the same token, I understand that He's called us to a way of living. And it's not an expectation or a checklist for you to wake up each morning and to make sure that you check it off and mark it off and I'm living just by the right code. But listen to the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you in all truth. Musicians, you can come on. I'm closing. A highway, a thoroughfare, a transportation route from one destination to another. Can I tell you that in this place there's no lion, there's no ravenous beast therein. They won't be those types of things won't be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. The ransomed of the Lord shall walk in that path. I want to invite you tonight, as we worship the God of all heaven, the God of all glory, the God of all holiness, the God of all purity. You know the Bible tells us that we should be fervent about our pure heart. That same word that's used as the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hotness, hot prayer. Getting in your prayer closet and really letting it go. Going after God. Turning up the heat. Turn it up to 10. That same word is used to tell us how we are to pursue a pure heart fervently. So I want to speak to the saints tonight. And I just want to remind you, and I want to call you, and I want to challenge you if that's okay. Let's deepen ourselves a little bit. Let's let that root down inside of who. I'm not calling for outwardness tonight. Don't take it as I'm saying, let's go out of here and change our wardrobes and do all this. That's all great, and don't get me wrong, I still believe that. But what I do know is there's a root down deep inside of who you are. And if it's not growing, Pastor, on the inside, if it's not growing on the inside, the worst thing that we could ever do is to plant our hands down in that soil and try to bring it forth ourselves and say, if you want to do X, Y, and Z, you'll do it. No, you ought to be free to worship. You ought to be free to live for God in the beauty. You ought to be free to live for God in the beauty of holiness. Not in the mandates, not in the have-tos, but in the get-tos. And in the hearing His voice calling me a little deeper and a little further. Another step, another step, another step. That's what I want to challenge you with tonight. Is in the morning when we rise, let's rise with the idea of God. Today may not look like every other day's looked. And God, You may call me a little bit deeper into my path today, and that's okay. Would you give in if that voice would call? If the King of all kings would call to you and beckon to you to walk with Him a little bit further down the path that only the redeemed, you hear that? Only the redeemed get to walk there. Only by His blood, only by His grace, Brother Randy. But thank God for grace. Thank God for redemption. Brother Eddie says it all the time. He says that if I got to heaven and found out that you didn't have to live holy to get there, it's okay, because he said he loves to live the way that he's lived. I am finding the same thing. I'm no Brother Eddie Tucker by no means. But as young as I am, Brother Tommy, I've seen the goodness of God. And I have felt, Brother Tom, what it's like to walk with Him. And I'm not reached my destination, so don't hold me to that. But I'm not the man today that I used to be. And I tell you, Tom, that every step that I've taken down that roadway, that thoroughfare called holiness, in that direction of going to God, has been worth every step. It's been worth any sacrifice that I've ever made just to know Him a little bit more, just to feel His presence in something, just a little bit more of You, God. You're perfecting Yourself in the flesh. No, no, no. Jacob wrestled with Him. That's what I'm challenging you with tonight. Leave this place and wrestle with God, and don't ever quit. Don't ever stop wrestling with the things of God. Me and Pastor and all the leaders, we wrestle with Him all the time, because we lead a great people. And because we're sought to oversee people that we love dearly. And we don't want to expect too much, but we don't want to expect too little. So we wrestle with it. We wrestle with it. We wrestle with it. So I'm telling you tonight, leave this place tonight and grab a hold of something bigger than you are and say, God, I'm not letting go until You bless me. Can I tell you that if you walk holy, there's blessings for your family. There's blessings for your children if you choose to live for God. If you choose to sell out and live as a holy sacrifice, pure and acceptable in the sight of God, if you choose to sell out this outward man and let that person, that kingdom body that awaits me, if I let the earnest expectation of things that are to come begin to manifest themselves in this body that I now wear. The Bible would use verbiage. It would say that we all are, and it's NLT, I think, so don't hold me exactly to the phrasing. I'm going to paraphrase. He says that we all, putting on this outward man, we want to die. But we don't want to die to put off this body, Dustin. We want to die to put on our new body. We want to die in order that all those things that we wrestle for, that holiness unto God, that place that only He can reach, I want to be like Him. I love Him, Don. I love Him and I respect Him and I worship Him and I give Him reverence. And I want to be like Him, Tom. So there's a constant reaching. There should be in a believer. Reaching for something bigger. Grab a hold of it. And wrestle with it. And don't let go in Jesus' name.